Blog Talk Radio.
What a moment that he has brought me through. Ooh, hallelujah. Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it, thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning. What a day, what a day. God has given us another one. And we should be grateful that he woke us up this morning because somebody didn't wake up today. Somebody put a bed. Somebody is grieving today. So thank God that he gave you another day. Let's give God thanks and praise that he said, I'm going to give you a little bit more time. Hallelujah. And I know as a premier time waster that time is precious. So I ask God this morning, help me not to waste my morning, not to be a procrastinator, but to get what I need to do done in a timely order. You got to pray through our situation and tell God thank you, because so many times we forget to just say thank you. Thank you, Lord, for waking me up this morning. Thank you, Lord, for giving me another day. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your loving and kind son. Thank you, Lord, for being just my daddy God and adopting me into your loving family. We got to remember to just tell God, thank you. I'm happy and I know it and I'm clapping my hands. Hallelujah. I had a great weekend. That's all I can say. I had a really awesome and great weekend. Started off Saturday with the SSB Morning Glory pop-up in East St. Louis, as I spoke about yesterday. God got me there because we surely did get taken out down a back road and said you need to get out of your car and walk across the bridge to get to the park. And I knew that was not right. So needless to say, God got us back on track and everything worked out well. So thanking God for that and thanking God again for Minister Marcy, Pastor Few, Mother Calanice, and all of the Morning Glory family. Thank you all. God is good. And your pop-up was awesome. So thank God. Thank God and thank God again. Because he is absolute. The author and the finisher of everything. So thank him. Father God in heaven, we thank you this morning for your grace, for your mercy, for your goodness, for your kindness, for your love, for your strength that you pour into us every day. Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that is in our lives that we accepted when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Lord God, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you that he loves me. I thank you that he cared enough for me to die on the cross for my awful sinful self, because none of us are perfect, God. I know I'm not, but Lord, I lift up my every day to you, asking you, Lord God, increase as your daughter decreases. Father God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart, Lord, for I humble myself to you. I give myself away, Lord God, for you to use me. Because, Lord, you are my strength. Father, you are my strength. Lord Jesus, you are my strength and my redeemer. And all I can say this morning is, as I lift this word up to you, Lord God, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Giving honor to the Most High God, who is the source of my strength and the one who redeemed me from myself. Hallelujah. But we know that we are all just moving through, passing through, and we all have work to do. So for me, it's time to go to work. It's time to go to work. And this morning, we are coming out of the book of Nehemiah, a new book. Yay! Excited about it. Nehemiah, Ezra, Esther, all are pretty much in conjunction with each other. And when we read it, it does something to our heart, because it is around the time they're wanting to rebuild the kingdom of God. And this is what God gave me as far as the title: God will answer your prayers in unexpected ways. God will answer your prayers in unexpected ways. And this is what Nehemiah is about. For those that are just joining us, we have a little book, and it's called Know Your Bible. So do you have your Bible? Get your Bible, y'all. It's time to go to Bible study. And that's what this is. This is the Bible of this blog, is to read the Bible in 1 year, from January to December, January 1st, December 31st, from Genesis chapter 1 to Revelation chapter 21, verse 22. This is what we do. So if you are interested in reading the Bible, I'm always looking for readers and someone who might want to read or have a word. I'll give you the scriptures. All you need to do is study and show yourself approved and be a reader. Give me a buzz. DM me on Twitter at minister_bTalksWord, and we'll talk about it. And this is what it says in the book of Nehemiah from I Know Your Bible book. And it says, Nehemiah, the words of Nehemiah chapter 1:1, the Jewish tradition says those words were put on paper by Ezra. Because Ezra's telling the story of Nehemiah, that's what it's saying. And it says, returning, and the dates of this was approximately 5 B.C., but in 10 words or less, returning Jewish exiles revealed the broken walls of Jerusalem. Details, please. Nehemiah served as the king's cupbearer, which means he's in a position of power in Shushan, Persia. As a Jew, he's disturbed to learn that even though exiles have been back in Judah for nearly 100 years, they have not rebuilt the city's walls, devastated by the Babylonians in 586 B.C. Nehemiah asks and receives the king's permission to return to Jerusalem, where he leads a team of builders against much pagan opposition in reconstructing the walls in only 52 days. Can y'all say that with me? He reconstructed the wall in 52. You know, I don't know if any of you watch HGTV, but there's a show that comes on because, you know, they always like to have all the different people that do great things as far as rebuilding or organizing or tearing down your walls and rebuilding your house. But this particular couple in Florida, their job is they build houses in 100 days. That's their assignment. That's what they do. And when I say they build beautiful homes, they build beautiful, hurricane-resistant, nicely landscaped, special project, beautiful homes in 100 days. And they normally stay within your budget. So Nehemiah is like that. He said, I'm building this wall. So he builds the walls back up 2 days. The quick work on the project shocks the Jews' enemies, who perceived that this work was wrought of our God. Woo! God took care of it. God answers prayers in unexpected ways. 52 days, 5 plus 2 equals 7, and 7 is complete. Did they not do the thing? And the quotable from Nehemiah is this from Nehemiah chapter 5, verse 19. Think upon me, my God, for good according to all that I have done for this people. Unique and unusual. Indignant over some fellow Jews' intermarriage with pagans, Nehemiah cursed them and smote certain of them and plucked off their hair. Because we all know that in Ezra, when we ended, folks were saying, we giving up the pagan wives. We even giving up our children for God. Because we know we sin. We know we did wrong. We know we have brought a curse upon ourselves and on our nation. So, like I said, Nehemiah didn't play. What did it say? Ooh, indignant over some fellow Jews in America, pagans. Nehemiah cursed them and smote certain of them and plucked off their hair. And anybody who has gotten their hair plucked, you know, we girls try to be cute, but pluck these eyebrows. And I'm going to tell you something. It hurts. It hurts to pluck. And then if you, you know, have a certain age and get them little hairs in your chin and you pull them out and pluck them out, it is not pleasant. It is painful. So you can imagine when he started plucking hair, it hurt. But it was a reminder what God had told us to do. So what? Nehemiah's success in rebuilding Jerusalem's wall provides many leadership principles for today, especially his consistent focus on prayer. Oh, my pastor always talks about prayer. We have a meeting every Tuesday. So if you are in the Springfield, Illinois area, come to the Table of Life Ministries, where you will find peace, love, and joy, but you will also find a house of God that prays. And so we have prayer every Tuesday at 5 o'clock, 1 hour of prayer, just prayer once a week. You know, and I will have to be honest and say I don't always make prayer. I pray, but I don't always make that Tuesday afternoon prayer. But I'm doing my best to try to get there. You know, I don't want to just be a talker. I want to be a doer. So prayer changes things. And when God gave us this word this morning, he answers prayers as well. God will answer your prayers in unexpected ways. You got to just trust God. And this is what the word of God says in Nehemiah chapter 1. The words of Nehemiah the son of Hakaliah, it came to pass in the month of Shalib. And if I didn't say that right, please tell me, my brothers and sisters. In the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the cathedral, and Hananiah, one of my brethren, came with men from Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. So it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. And I said, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments, please let your ears be attentive and your eyes open, that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, today, at night, for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you, both my father's house, and I have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, nor the ordinance which you commanded your servant Moses. Remember, I pray, the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though some of you were cast out of the to the farthest part of the heavens, yet I will gather them from there and bring them to the place which I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. Now these are your whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. O Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servant who desire to fear your name. And let your servant prosper this day, I pray, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. For I was the king's cupbearer. And a life lesson from Nehemiah chapter 1 is this. Remember, I pray, the word that you commanded your servant Moses. Have you ever noticed how many of the great things God does for his people get started with fasting and prayer? Well, can y'all say it with me? Fasting and prayer changes everything. We got to earnestly fast, not just give up a meal or two, but no prayer in it. When we fast, we got to fast and pray. And it does change the focus of everything. It does help us. Fasting helps to focus our prayers, and through our prayers, we tap into the limitless power of God. We pray most powerfully when we pray according to the promise of God. When we pray based on who he is and what he has done rather than on who we are and what we have done, we receive God's blessing. God knows the word, and it's important. You know, when we go into Nehemiah also, what the Bible has to say, effectively tackling a prayer. Nehemiah was praying not for himself, but for his nation. He was a powerful man. He was a cupbearer of a king. That's like being the assistant to a president. You know, he was important. He did all kind of stuff. But his main position was cut there for a king who had power over his nation. And this is what, you know, Dr. Stanley says, and I want to, again, give my daily disclaimer. We are coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. I am coming out of the New King James Version because God has put in my heart that it's easier for those that are not Bible readers to understand and easier to read. And I just say, but it has pretty much, if you have a King James Version, you can follow New King James. All it does is takes out the them, the thous in Old English and puts in modern English. That's all. But the words and the nuance and the context are all the same. And Dr. Stanley has given us blueprints. And the ones are, they're called life lessons. And what the Bible says in life questions and life examples. And when I read these, I give tribute to Dr. Stanley. And I say this every day. If you do not have this Bible in your biblical arsenal, you need to get it. This Bible is awesome. For those that have been listening, hearing these questions and examples, you know what I'm talking about. Again, not being paid by In Touch Ministries or Dr. Stanley to hawk his Bible, but I'm just telling you from my heart and from what God gave me, this Bible is a great Bible for your biblical arsenal. You should have more than one Bible. You know, this should not be the only Bible that you own. And, you know, a King James, and that's it, one that you take to church and bring home. You should have a Bible almost in every room because you never know when God has a word for you that you just need to sit down and open it up. I love the word of God. This is my happy place. This hour in the morning, this is my time that I spend with God. that I share with you. And I just want you to know how important this is to me, that I will get up, even tired, sick, off, whatever, to do what I do on vacation. I'm going to do God's will. And God's will is this word, and I'm going to do it because I love him like that. And when we go into this, what the Bible says about effectively tackling a prayer burden, and it tells us in Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 6, when Nehemiah heard that his people lived in great distress and reproach, that the walls of Jerusalem lay in ruins, and that the gates of the city remained burned and broken, he responded with prayer. I sat down and wept and mourned for many days, and I said, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments, please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open, that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night. Nehemiah was experiencing prayer burden. A prayer burden can be defined as a strong motivation to pray for others and to carry the needs of others before God in prayer until God responds. And how many of us have had prayer burdens? Where we were praying for someone else, where we were asking God for a blessing for someone else, where we were lifting up other people besides ourselves. We got to lift up the name of Jesus today. Ask God, Lord, guide and lead and show the way. The Bible has a great deal to say about burdens. We are to bear one another's burdens, Galatians 6 and 2. We are to go the second mile in helping another person, Matthew 5 and 41. Much of our ability to bear natural burdens is derived from developing our ability to carry spiritual burdens in prayer. What does the song say? Take it to the Lord in prayer. We got to take our situations, our burdens, our needs, what we have to do, asking God for strength if that's what you need, asking God to take you out of the doldrums, to do what you need to do, what we have to do. I ask you, Lord God, to remove this thorn in my side. You know, I'm sure that's what Paul prayed every day. Lord, remove this thorn in my side. We all have a thorn in our side that we would like for God to remove. We got to pray. And if you know your brother and sister are hurting, you've got to pray. And it says a sense of spiritual weight usually accompanies a prayer burden, a heaviness of heart, a drag on one's emotions, a spirit of mourning, or a feeling of restlessness that we can't seem to shift ourselves away from, a problem or need that has come to our attention. God does not act in many situations because we do not pray. God waits for either the co-instigator or the negative situation to cry out to him for forgiveness, or for the victim of the negative situation to come out to him for mercy. Then he will act. We got to get on our knees and do a little repenting and ask God, please forgive me. We got to ask God to forgive us. We got to repent of whatever your situation is. And if you feel a burden towards your children, you got to pray for them. You got to lift them up, not tear them down. Well, Lord, you know, da-da-da. No, Lord, I need you. You said, I believe. We got to know the word and speak it and pray it and know that God, and feel in your heart with faith the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of not things not seen, that God will work out your situation for your good. If you feel burdened to pray for another person, God decides to act on the person's behalf. He places a burden to pray on your heart, and he moves through the opening. As you pray, you can get in on the blessing that God has for that person through an answered prayer. Understand, you know, we got to lift each other up. We all go through, but it's God that brings us through. Hallelujah. Pray for somebody besides yourself. If God puts Sister Susie on your heart, get on your knees immediately and start praying for Sister Susie. If God puts your pastor on your heart, stop what you're doing. Take a minute and of quiet and pray for your pastor. Pray for others, for the lady that you meet in the bathroom at the state park who is on having a hard time. But you know that God has got her covered. God has got her covered. Lift her up for God to guide her where she needs to go. Or God to, and I'm not talking, you just meet people. Sometimes we meet folks in the cafeteria, or you meet people at a restaurant, or you meet at grocery shopping. You never know where God will put someone in your place for you to minister to. Minister to them and pray for them. Take that burden of prayer for them that they will be better. And as we continue, it says, and it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 12th year of King Xerxes, when wine was before him, that I took the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had never been sad in his presence before. Therefore the king said to me, why is your face sad since you are not sick? This is nothing but sorrow of heart. So I became dreadfully afraid and said to the king, may the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's tomb, lies waste and its gates are burned with fire? Then the king said to me, what do you request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. I said to the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tomb, that I may rebuild it. Then the king said to me, the queen also sitting beside him, how long will your journey be, and when will you return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Furthermore, I said to the king, if it pleases the king, let letters be given to me for the governors of the region beyond the river, that they must permit me to pass through, till I come to Judea, a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's fort, and that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the cathedral, which pertains to the temple, for the city wall and for the house that I will occupy. And the king granted them to me according to the good hand of my partner. Then I went to those governors in the region beyond the river and gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me. When Sanballat, the Horonite, and Tobiah, the Ammonite official, heard of it, they were deeply disturbed that a man had come to seek the well-being of the children of Israel. So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. Then I arose in the night, I and a few men with me. I told no one what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Nor was there any animal with me except the one on which I rode. And I went out by night through the valley gate to the circle well and the refuge gate, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates which were burned with fire. Then I went on to the fountain gate and the king's pool, but there was no room for the animal under me to pass. So I went up in the night by the valley and viewed the wall. Then I turned back and entered by the valley gate, and so returned. And the officials did not know where I had gone or what I had done. I had not yet told the Jews, the priests, the nobles, the officials, or the others who did the work. Then I said to them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies waste and its gates are burned with fire. Come and let us build the wall of Jerusalem, that we may no longer be a reproach. And I told them of the hand of my God, which had been good upon me, and also the king's word that he had spoken to me. So they said, let us rise and build. Then they set their hands to this good work. They went to work, y'all. They went to work. And it says, but when Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite official, and Geshem the Arab heard of it, they laughed at us and despised us and said, what is this thing that you are doing? Will you rebel against the king? So I answered them and said to them, the God of heaven himself will prosper us. Therefore we will arise and build. But you have no heritage or right or memorial in Jerusalem. And let's go over to some life lessons from chapter 2 of Nehemiah. An awesome word this morning. Nehemiah chapter 2 verse 4 said, I prayed to the God of heaven. Can y'all say that with me? He prayed to the God of heaven. And I can tell you when I said, and he will answer prayer. God answered the prayer of Nehemiah by going to the king directly. God will answer your prayers in unexpected ways. He not only gave him permission, but sent military with him to watch over him, did everything he needed, sent letters of introduction. Nehemiah has an assignment, and they are going to go to work for God. And this is what it says. Potent prayers can be of many types. This must be one of the shortest on record, utterly wordless in the second after the king's questioning. But when God is in our prayers, mighty things happen. Can y'all say that? When God is in our prayers, mighty things happen. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 12, I know one what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Even though Nehemiah had been given the authority to repair Jerusalem walls, he was wise not to tell anyone his purpose until he had seen all of the destruction for himself. That way he could make an unbiased assessment of the situation, unencumbered by the political or financial influences of his enemies. Though we may want to shout from the mountaintops what God is calling us to do, the wisest thing is to be discreet until God releases us to announce our intentions. Hallelujah. Because sometimes our intentions can be announced too early when it's not time, when God has not given us permission to do what we want to do. You know, man can get us all excited to do something, but if it's not God's time, it is not going to work. You're not going to be able to move forward. He will put your feet in the sand so you can't move. We got to stop, respect everything is in God's time. And when God says go, that's when we go. But until then, you got to have a peace be still in your spirit. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 20. The God of heaven himself will prosper us. Therefore, we, his servants, will arise and build. Nehemiah could not have accomplished what God put on his heart unless he had encouraged God's people. Excuse me. In the task, he had to encourage God's people in the task. None of us are in this adventure alone. God wants us to walk it together. Nehemiah also understood his task to be not primarily political or civic, but spiritual, even though it concerned the building of a physical wall. When God puts something on our heart, the core issue is always spiritual. Hallelujah. It's always spiritual. Let's go to our psalm this morning, and our psalm is coming out of chapter 88. And we are in the 88th Psalm, verses 11 through, shall your loving kindness be declared in the grave? Or your faithfulness to in the place of destruction? David didn't play, just asked the question. Shall your wonders be known in the dark, and your righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? But to you I have cried out, O Lord, and in the morning my prayer comes before you. Morning, we in the morning, y'all, and our prayers are going up to God. But to you I have cried out, O Lord, and in the morning my prayer comes before you. Lord, why do you cast out my soul? Why do you hide your face from me? I have been afflicted and ready to die from my youth. I suffer your terrors. I am distraught. Your fierce wrath has gone over me. Your tears have cut me off. They came around me all day long like water, gulped me all together. Loved ones and friends, you have put far from me, and my acquaintances into darkness. Whew! We go through. And the only one that can get us through is God. But understand, he answers prayers when you least expect it. He answers prayers in ways that you least expect. God is omnipotent, and he's omnipresent, and he does what he wants to do. So he will answer your prayer, but it may be in an unexpected way. Trust in the Lord. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path in prayer. You've got to pray. Pray without ceasing. I ain't saying get in your prayer closet and be here all day that you don't have time to go to work, because you can take your prayer closet with you. There's nothing saying you can't pray wherever you are. Take a minute. Take a second. Take an hour. Nobody knows what you're thinking. Your thinking can be prayer. Hallelujah. And you can smile and be praying all along for your coworkers, for the people that you work for. Whatever you may be, whatever your situation, pray and pray some more. Hallelujah. Proverbs 21, verse 25 through 26. The desire of the lazy man kills him, but his hands refuse to labor. If all you do is lay in your bed all day, you will accomplish nothing but death. And I'm speaking to all of us. We got to get up. If you can get up, get up. If you can't, you can't. But you can use your heart and your mind to pray for others. You can take that prayer burden, because there's a difference between being sick and not being able to get up. But being lazy, it's just being lazy. You can get up. You can move around. You can go to work. You can do things. You don't have to lay in your bed all day. That's a difference. Sick is one thing. Lazy is another thing. So I'm not talking about a sick person that may be bedridden. I'm talking about that lazy person that just lays in their bed all day playing playing video games. And it's not just men. It's women, too, playing video games, listening to the music on the radio. And I'm not talking like what we had back in my day. They don't do those anymore. They got it on their phone. They got it on their television. They got it on their iPad, their computers, their everything. They got YouTube. They got Movie Channel. They got all these things out there that are distractions to keep you from going to work. And I'm speaking this for myself. There are times when I know I got something to do, but you sit there laying in your bed, looking in the space. Not praying, just looking in the space. Or looking at what's the latest thing on Twitter. What's trending? What's this? What's that? Oh, let me check out TikTok. All time wasted, making you lazy. And I'm speaking that. The desire of a lazy man kills him. That's the truth. But his hands refuse to work. And we all know if a man don't work, he don't eat. Folks are just laying in bed, don't eat at all. Just lay there. Can get up, but don't feel like it. Can do this, but don't feel like it. And I mean, we all have been there. We've all been in a golden sweat. All you want to do is turn back over in your bed and close your eyes and say, I don't even feel like doing nothing. And all you do is just lay there, not understanding that when you don't get up, it makes your body hurt. That's God's reminder that you got to go to work, that you got to get up. It's time to go to work. And I'm, not speaking for anybody but myself. Because there have been times that I have just felt lazy. Don't want to do anything. Just want to look in his face. You know, like that. And that is not a God. We got to get out and shake it off. Get up, get moving, go to work. And if we go to verse 26, it says, he covets greedily all day long, but the righteous gives and does not spare. We all understand that covet spirit. Looking at everything, ooh, I want Miss Jones. Look at his wife. She sure is fine. She should be my wife. Look at Mr. Jones. Ooh, girl, Mr. Jones is so fine. You know that should be my husband. Girl, I should have everything that she got. Okay. Are you seeing this again outside? But you don't know that Mr. Jones is beating the tar out of Mrs. Jones every night. But he knows where to hit her so it don't show. And she likes her comfort. She likes driving her Mercedes-Benz. She likes living in the house on the hill with the lights to shine and everybody can see in. Come on now. But y'all, you see is Miss Jones and Mr. Jones, and he's fine and she's beautiful. And ooh, yeah. And you don't have a clue what's going on behind them doors as you cover what they have. You don't, some things you don't know, you need to stop. Don't ask for what somebody else has. You're looking at, oh, wait, look at this. Look at the Johnson. Girl, they got a beautiful house. They got everything. Oh, I wish I could be like the Johnsons. No, you don't, because you don't know the Johnsons might be in debt. And debt you can't afford. You know, understand the more you have, the more you spend. And it's not necessarily on frivolity. If you got two furnaces, you got two electric bills and two gas bills. And sometimes your bills is more than some people make a month. So you need to absolutely, don't be asking to be what somebody else is doing because you don't know their story. Don't ask, don't covet. As I say, covet it greedily all day long. But the righteous gives and does not spare. You know what? We give what we can. We don't have to worry. A hand open to give is a hand open to receive the blessings from God. You know, when you bless God's people, God will bless you. Hallelujah. Give your offering. Pay your tithes. And I know there's some that say, well, that's Old Testament stuff. Now you just give. I believe you still need to give God what is due God. Don't cheat God, because God will definitely cheat you. Keep playing with God's money. You know, God is using that for a purpose and a reason. Again, folks, the church doors don't stay open on $2 a week unless that $2 a week is your tithe. That's your 10%. But if you're making $5,000, and you give $5, that is not God. Okay, come on now. Let's call it like it is. Say it, tell the truth, and say the devil. And as we get into our Acts word this morning, we're coming out of Acts chapter 25. And it says this, now when fast 3 days, he went up from Caesarea to Jerusalem. Then the high priest and the chief men of Jews informed him against Paul. And they petitioned him, asking a favor against him, that he would summon him to Jerusalem while they lay in ambush along the road to kill him. But Festus answered that Paul should be kept at Caesarea and that he himself was going there shortly. Therefore he said, let those who have authority must among you go down with me and accuse this man to see if there is any fault in him. And when he had remained among them more than 10 days, he went down to Caesarea. And the next day, sitting on the judgment seat, he commanded Paul to be brought. When he had come to the Jews who had come down from Jerusalem stood about and laid many serious complaints against Paul, which they could not prove. While he answered for himself, neither against the law of the Jews nor against the temple, not against Caesar, but have I offended in anything at all? But Festus wanted to do the Jews a favor, answered Paul and said, are you willing to go up to Jerusalem and there be judged before me concerning these things? So Paul said, I stand through this judgment seat, where I ought to be judged. To the Jews, I have done no wrong. As to you, very well know, as you very well know. For if I am an offender, I have committed anything deserving of death, I do not object to die. But if there is nothing in these things of which these men accuse me, no one can deliver me to them. I appeal to Caesar. That passage when he has conferred with the council answered, you have appealed to Caesar you shall go. And after some days, King Agrippa and Bernice came to Caesar to greet Festus. When they had been there many days, Festus laid Paul's case before the king, saying, there is a certain man left a prisoner by Felix, about whom the chief priests and the elders of the Jews informed me. When I was in Jerusalem asking for a judgment against him, to them I answered, it is not the custom of the Romans to deliver any man to destruction before the accused meets the accusers face to face and has answered for himself concerning the charge against him. Therefore, when they had come together, without any delay, the next day I sat on the judgment seat and commanded a man to be brought in. When the accusers stood up, they brought no accusation against him of such things as I supposed, but had some questions against him about their own religion and about a certain Jesus who had died, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. And because I was uncertain of such questions, I asked whether he was willing to go to Jerusalem and there be judged concerning these matters. But when Paul appealed to be reserved for the decision of Augustus, I commanded him to be kept till I could send him to Caesar. Then Agrippa and Festus, I also would like to hear the man myself. Tomorrow, he said, you shall hear him. So the next day, when Agrippa and Beatrice had come with great pomp and had entered the auditorium with the commanders and the prominent men of the city, Festus commanded Paul was brought in. And Festus said, King Agrippa and all the men who are here present with us, you see this man about whom the whole assembly of the Jews petitioned me, both at Jerusalem and here, crying out that he was not fit to live any longer. But when I found that he had committed nothing deserving of death and that he himself had appealed to Augustus, I decided to send him. I have nothing certain to write to my Lord concerning him. Therefore, I have brought him out before you and especially before you, King Agrippa, so that after the examination has taken place, I may have something to write. For I seem to be unreasonable to send a prisoner and not to specify the charges against him. Ooh, and then a life lesson for that verse was this. Festus had no interest in violations, real or imagined, concerning the Jewish law. He hoped that Agrippa, who knew the Jews well, could help him to formulate some kind of legal charge against Paul that would make sense to Rome. And as we go back up in Acts 25, verses 18 through 19, they had some questions against him about their own religion and about a certain Jesus who had died, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. To the Roman governor, Festus, the gospel story was nothing but the religious fantasy of a contentious people. We should not be surprised when secularized people treat it as a myth. And let's call it straight, that's happening today. Folks, look at what we believe as myth when we know it as truth, but they believe it as myth. And so we have to just continue to keep on keeping on, as they say, knowing that our God is not myth, that he is truth, that he is light, that he is all things that we could ever imagine and more than we could ever ask for. But understand, God does answer our prayers. All we have to do is believe. And before we get out of here this morning, if there's no one to have the words, again, our number for those that would like to call in instead of listen on social media, because I don't always post social media, is 213-943-3597. Again, our call-in number is 213-943-3597. And again, I thank you all for listening in this morning. Before we get out of here, our daily word of encouragement from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, is this today. Pray. Listen, y'all know that when God puts something on your heart, that it's always God, because he gives you a confirmation. And my confirmation this morning is from Sister Carolyn. Pray until your situation changes. Miracles happen every day, so never stop believing. God can change things very quickly in your life. Have a meditating Monday. Sister Carolyn, I thank you. Right on point, girl. God gave me prayer, and Sister Carolyn comes in with a word about prayer. That's God. God will put it in the spiritual realm. God will answer your prayers in unexpected ways. And Sister Carolyn say, pray until your situation changes. Miracles happen every day, so never stop believing. God can change things very quickly in your life. And I say, in unexpected ways. God is always there, always listening, and he knows your heart. He knows your desires, and he knows what you need. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord today for the greatness that is God. And before we get out of here, our prayer for this morning from our 365 days of prayer for life is this: better than winning. When you do things, do not let selfishness or pride be your guide. Instead, be humble and give more honor to others than yourselves. Philippians 2:3 NCB version. Humble God, your instructions for a good life are so different than the world's advice. Instead of letting my own interest and pride guide me, you instruct that honoring others above myself is the way to live. I trust your wisdom. You know what you're doing, Lord. When I'm caught up in my own way, making plans for my future, keep me soft in my love and lead me back to your side. If faced with a choice of honoring someone else or holding on to something, I feel the right to have. May I choose honor. Jesus, you built margin into your life, but you didn't serve your own whim or desire. I want to learn the same, to live like you did. Jesus, the humble king, the example of your life is a beautiful, though difficult, model to follow. With your love filling and strengthening me, I can do even the hardest things. Is honoring someone else over your own agenda worth it to you? Yeah, I have done that. Yeah, you will find yourself doing things you choose not to do or don't want to do because you get put on blast and put on front, and it makes you look like you're selfish, even though you may want some time to yourself. But then someone invades your time, and you don't always, you can't always say, no, I don't really want you to go with me, because you know that it will hurt that particular person's feelings and heart. So sometimes we have to just say, you know what? Lord, you show me what to do. God, you guide me what to do. Help me, God. And that's what we have to do, is say, help me, God. We got to work with what God gives us. And sometimes God will give you a task or a person that you may not want to do what you're doing, but it may be the right thing to do to help that person to grow and to help you to grow. So don't give up on God, because he's not going to give up on you. Pray, pray, and pray some more. And know that God will answer your prayer. It may not always be the way you want it, but he will answer your prayer. So, Father God, we thank you for this word this morning. And as I pray before you for everyone, I pray to you, Lord God. May the Lord, to all of you, may the Lord watch between me and thee. While we're absent one from each other, in Jesus' precious and holy name, I pray over each and every one of you, asking God to lead you, to guide you, to help you to be the best that you can be. I thank God for all those, the sick and the shut in that call in and listen in. I thank God for those that are listening in on the road, on the way to work. I thank all of you. I thank you all for listening and sharing time with God with me as we go through our word, this holy word called the Bible. Basic instruction before leaving earth, but we know this final destination. Thank you so much, family. Have a great and blessed day. God willing, join me tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we continue moving in the Word of God, moving forward. Thank you all, and God bless you, because as y'all know what I'm about to say, it's time to do what? It's time to go to work. So thank you so much, and be blessed. It's a wrap.